League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid. Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. I am Morenci. Let's do this thing. It's the National Football League, the draft. On Thursday, but we don't know what's going to happen in this draft. And we do this podcast generally in the evening, in the afternoon, and we're live during the draft on Sports Grid. We're back live for a couple of nights. So we figured, you know what, we'd have an NFL-free program today. And I'm like, all right, we're going to do NFL-free program in the middle of a draft. It's, you know, a little challenging. But at the same point in time, last week we had a lot of fun catching up with all of our old school partners in crime, our colleagues, our regulars, and specifically the crew from over at the Meadowlands. So a little bit later on, legendary Lindsay will step up and kick it with us. And of course, Lindsay is a regular over at the Meadowlands, a horse player, and a damn good horse player as well. At ironically enough, I didn't know this about him, but he's actually from Montreal, as am I. And of course, we're both in the New York area right now, and the New York area is taking a big hit. So shout out to all the first responders, bus drivers, paramedics, nurses, doctors, and everybody in the New York, New Jersey area, and everywhere. But it's crazy. They're hit really, really hard. I saw a story, 83 people that work for the MTA, which is the public transit system, the subway and bus system, 83 of their workers have died due to coronavirus, man. Nearly 100, like, just transit workers alone have passed. So, you know, thank the guy that's getting you to where you need to go right now. So Lindsay's going to step up in a little bit later on, and we've got a virtual simulated horse race. And I'm not into this sim sport too much, but this thing's really cool with all the Triple Crown winners and stuff, so we'll get Lindsay's thoughts on that. But let's bring in somebody that spent a lot of time with us at the Meadowlands. Your favorite and mine, Window Will, steps up. What's up, Will?
Not too much, Gabe. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it. Looking forward to the draft tonight, and also looking forward to talking something other than football, since that's what we've been hearing a lot of. But tonight should be fun, to say the least.
Yeah, everything's been about the draft. So I figured, you know what, you know, we'll do a show. The podcast is very popular. People are tuning in. And, you know, tomorrow we'll be able to break down what happened on Thursday night in the International Football League draft. But, Will, you're a big baseball fan, and you're a big Yankee fan as well. Big Yankee fan. And the Astros screwed the Yankees and the Dodgers over. And now we find out that the Red Sox did as well And just because Major League Baseball only slaps them on the wrist doesn't mean that they weren't guilty of things. It was the same guy. It was Alex Cora was involved. They used the same system as the Houston Astros. They had cameras in the tunnel. They were, you know, focusing in on the signs. They had the Red Sox had a very sophisticated system put in place. The only thing that basically they didn't do that was different to the Astros was they didn't bang on any garbage cans. but it's amazing, isn't it? Back-to-back World Series champions who beat the Yankees and beat my Dodgers, both proven to be cheaters. What do you think, Will, as a Yankee fan?
Yeah, definitely. As you know, I'm a big Yankees fan, and I know you're a pretty big Dodgers fan, so I feel like you and I have been affected by this the most. But in regards to the Red Sox, as you said, they really just got a slap on the wrist, to say the least, and I think they definitely deserved a bit more of a punishment. But my feeling on this is that because it happened in 2018 and a year already went by, and then they found out, I feel like that's one of the reasons why the punishments were a little bit less strong in comparison to the Astros. But Alex Cora is clearly the mind behind this, and they did say that he's going to receive a ban in 2020. And they also said how AJ Hinch and the former Astros GM will receive a ban in 2020. But apparently those two, Astros GM and the head coach, her manager, they're going to be reinstated next year if there's no MLB season.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's going to be
year.
The same with Cora. I know, but it bothers me that they're going to have no time off, basically, and then be able to come right back into the league and maybe cheat again and do this to the Yankees or do this to the Dodgers in the playoffs on another team. And I'm not sure what Cora is going to be able – when he's going to come back, but I have a feeling he's going to try and cheat again with the way that he did it with two teams already.
No, but Alex Cora, he won't get hired. He won't get hired
as a manager?
No, he won't get hired as a manager.
What about AJ Hinch? What do you think about him?
No, neither of them. They won't get hired. You know what? They won't be blackballed from baseball mm-hmm. forever because, you know, it's sort of like Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire is a hitting coach. Barry Bonds, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people sort of ease up and time passes. And really, people don't really look at Hinch as the kingpin of this, right? Which
it's
he
true.
Wasn't, but... You know, he was there. You know, he can play dumb. And look, and, you know, listen, one thing with A.J. Hinch is they're all hypocrites on this. And I think most baseball teams are because they were all cheating. It was just to what extent did they go. The Astros took it to a level never been seen. But the Red Sox weren't far behind. The Red Sox weren't far behind on this. But they all have buddies, right? So Alex Cora will be a third base coach. He'll be a bench coach, but he won't be in charge of things. You know what I mean? He'll never be in charge. No one's ever going to say, all right, here's our new manager. But don't forget Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran was right in this, right? I mean, and
big time.
Along with Cora as being a mastermind. And let's not forget, Beltran did play for the Yankees too. And
he did.
Let's not forget that weekend when they were in London and there were a million runs scored and the Yankees kicked the crap out of the Red Sox. And remember at the press conference, it's sort of like in hindsight, you put everything together. When Cora said, they said, "Wow, man, your pitching staff got lit up."
Yeah.
And he said, "Ah, yeah, you know," he said, "I'm not really worried." He goes, "I know what we did wrong." And they're like, "Oh, well, what did you do wrong?" He goes, "Well, I forgot that Carlos was over there and he's pretty good at this stuff." And like he admitted it. He basically stated, yeah, we screwed up. I got sloppy, right? And Beltran came in. So, and listen, I'm not saying the Yankees are as guilty as these teams are, but I don't know like how innocent people really are in baseball, but the arrogance of the Red Sox to basically claim that, well, it wasn't us. It was just like the video guy. Which is, it's exactly what the freaking Patriots did. It's exactly what the Patriots did with the Deflategate, right? Let's just blame
100%.
Let's just blame one of the employees. And it seemed to be a pretty concerted effort amongst the Boston Red Sox. Like, this is the big difference, guys. The Houston Astros didn't get punished, right? The players didn't. And the reasoning why Rob Manfred said that they didn't get punished was because they cooperated, right? Which they actually did. Like, basically, Will, every guy on the Houston Astros that was interviewed basically confessed and stated, like, exactly what happened. Because they were given immunity, right? They were told before, tell us exactly how you did it. Tell us, like, don't lie at all. We need to know, like, you know, what tell us the real story here. And we won't suspend you. So they told them the real story. And the thing is, the Astros, I'm not saying they felt bad, but the Astros cheated so much, Will, that they were paranoid already. Like, it was weighing on them. You know what I mean? Like, sort of like someone that commits a big crime and they're looking over their shoulder all their time. You know what I mean? Like, they were
definitely,
like, they thought, like, they basically told Manfred, what took you so long, type of thing. Like, they basically, like, they didn't deny it. Like, they broke down pretty fast of, we thought you guys knew already. And turns out they kind of did know, right? That's the whole thing. And that's what pisses me off about the Red Sox investigation I'll get to in a second. But the Astros cooperated. And they said, yeah, we were doing this and we did that. And, yeah, we knew it was wrong. And the Astros, like, basically all confessed. And so they got off. The Red Sox players did not. They did not cooperate, Will. And, here we go.
Back again.
Here we go. The fire alarm's off and running. You know, my career comes full circle, though, man. I've done shows through fire alarms in the past, and we continue to do so. But as if, like...
You've done it all, Gabe.
Yeah, as if, like, one of these lockdowns and, you know, staying in doesn't suck enough already, but now I got to deal with an effing fire alarm going off all day?
Yeah, definitely not an ideal situation, to say the least. But I wish you the best. I hope it stops sometime soon.
Yeah, well, no, it stops and it starts. So I tweeted about this earlier.
Oh, I saw.
I was going to try to wait it out to do the show. I'm like, man, right as I'm about to tape a podcast, like the fire alarm starts going off. And like right as I'm about to eat, too. Like the microwave was on. I thought it was me at first. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, how do I start a fire in the microwave? I look up. I'm like, it's not me. And then the fire alarm's going off. And then they're like advising. Now to the social distance stuff, they don't want everyone, because usually they tell you evacuate, and then there's like a million people in the lobby after, right? But they didn't want that. So they're like, stay in your unit until the fire department tells you what to do. And I can actually see the fire truck showing up. And I'm thinking, it's a false alarm or some crap. And then there's like three trucks out here. And then the alarm's been going on and off all day. Then I'm just like, you know what? The NFL drafts tonight. I can't screw around, man. Like, you know what I mean? I got a podcast to do.
And it's a big day.
Yeah, it's already gone already. It'll be back. It'll be back. As we're kicking it with window will. But so yeah. So the Red Sox players did not cooperate. They basically told Manfred to F off, which you would expect the Red Sox to do. At least I'll respect them for that. The Red Sox don't strike me as a bunch of snitches, Will. Like, if you remember, what did Pedro Martinez say about the Astros? He called them a bunch of bitches. He said, you shouldn't have complained about it. You should have just handled it yourself. Big Poppy said the same thing. JD Martinez, I remember saying, man, people are flipping about nothing. He's like, everyone uses video stuff. So, like, the Red Sox kind of tipped their hand that they weren't really offended by this because they knew they were doing it. But Major League Baseball basically did the investigation, came to the conclusion and proved that, in fact, they were doing pretty much everything the Astros did, except they weren't banging on garbage cans, except JT Watkins, who was the designated replay room operator and was also the Boston Red Sox primary advanced video scout. He played with the Red Sox organization in the farm system. He was teammates with Benintendi and Rafael Devers in 2015. West Point graduate, but he never played big league ball. But he's been in the organization. He was drafted by them. He played with them. And now he works with them. And the Red Sox players basically stated that he did all of this on his own. Like, he put the cameras there. He was the one. Like, you know, he did this. They don't even know why he would do such a thing. And he says to Manfred, I set the cameras up and everything, but there was a misunderstanding about what I was doing with the players. They didn't know. So, like, he clearly, like, he bit the bullet for them. Right? Like,
yeah,
and it's just like the guy in New England that they blame the ball boy. But the thing is, 11 Red Sox players did confess. Like, out of, like, you know, the 40 people who were interviewed, 11 of them did crack. And 11 of them said, yeah, like, we did this, we did that, we were doing this. And basically that, yeah, you know, you got us. But the thing is, the Red Sox admitted to doing the 11 players. Watkins consistently denied to investigators that he violated Major League Baseball rules. Manfred disciplined him on evidence presented by 11 Red Sox players that portrayed him as the one that was using the replay monitor to decode signs. So, but I he can decode all the signs he wants, Will. Like, if he's not giving them to anybody, what difference does it make? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that this guy's the fall guy is an effing joke, bro.
Yeah, it really just doesn't make sense at all. But it just, it puzzles me that 11 out of the 40 said yes. Because how does, I guess, probably the, I wonder if it was the main players. It'd be really interesting to see which of the 11 did say yes, I knew somewhat of this. But I just don't see Red Sox players as ones who would really confess. So this does make sense to me in that regard. But I think Alex Cora is really just the main man behind all of this, who instructs the video replay guy to do this and possibly tell the players. But I'm not sure if they did tell the players or not. I guess it's kind of just up in the air in terms of the report. But it just bothers me so much that the Red Sox decide to just apologize the day after they get their punishments. They sincerely send their apologies to the Dodgers and the Yankees because they know that those two teams are who they
beat. The Red Sox,
what are you going to say?
The Red Sox posted an 872 OPS with runners in scoring position in 2018.
Okay.
All right? And it's most effective, like, you need somebody on second base. So that's like one of the things. If you have someone on second base, you can really relay things in. So Boston posted an 872 OPS with runners in scoring position in 2018 when they were using this cheating system. Not only was that the best in baseball in 2018, it was also the best by any team in the previous 12 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's, so in other words, it was the best since going back to, like, the steroid era, essentially. Like, that's what it is, essentially.
Yeah,
100%. That's so basically, they lit it up that much. You look at the Astros. You look at the Astros' batting average at home compared to on the road. Because at home, they had complete control of, like, the tunnel, and they could really set up cameras everywhere. They did it on the road, but they couldn't do it as sophisticated because they didn't control the environment.
Exactly.
It, like,
that's,
dude,
a big difference.
It was like Altuve, like these guys. They hit like 300 at home and like 220 on the road in the playoffs against the Dodgers. And, you know, there's a common – the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't
Never.
Lie. Like, cheating paid off for these teams. Like, the Astros won a World Series, and it's one of these deals. Listen, they're still great players. Bregman's great, and Altuve, you know, and all this. But – they still cheated. Their life's almost like John Jones. It's like John Jones is the best, and John Jones, the best UFC fighter ever of all time.
Yeah.
And he's never lost before. If you're wondering, oh, he's got one loss on his record, he really didn't lose. Like, he got disqualified. He was kicking the crap out of Matt Hamill, and he got disqualified for an illegal, like, elbow to the head. So he's never lost a fight, yet he's been nailed. Like, he has taken performance enhancers. And it's one of these deals. It's like, why? You know what I mean? Like, why, John? You were already like 22-0. You're already kicking the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Dude.
Like, it does, you know, it's sort of like with the Astros, the same thing. But get on the grid, hang in here. We'll be back with Window Will. We got Lindsay stepping up and in as well. Meadowlands Capper's Corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast continues. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down with Window Will and the legendary Lindsay will step up and in. We've got a live edition of Capper's Corner. And there's the alarm.
There it is.
There's the alarm. Right on cue. As they say, we are investigating the cause. Well, I don't know who's on. I think Rob Manfred's on the investigation here, Will, because they've been investigating this all damn day. Like, I don't know. Like, at some point, I'm going to effing snap, man. Yeah, I really am. I'm sitting here looking forward to the NFL draft. It's like, all right, you know what? Get ready for the draft. Get my bets in. I got alarms going off all day. But whatever. It's part of the chaos, and we just plow through. But, yeah, so cheating pays off. That's the moral of the story here, Will. Like, the Astro players didn't give the World Series back. They didn't give their World Series rings back. They're not giving their contracts back, the money back, the glory back, the memory of winning back. Same thing. Like, the Red Sox are not apologetic. They're laughing at this, right? And,
yes.
You know, and it's crazy that, you know, the way that baseball handled this is beyond, like, pathetic. Like, number one, the Astros, even them cooperating, they should have got suspended. Like, what they did was so bad, they all should have been suspended, the entire team. And they should have went in alphabetical order. You know what I mean? Like, you can't suspend them all at once. You can't say, all right, we're suspending all 25 of you. Or, like, let's say, you know, like, there's a few dudes on the Astros now that weren't there. You know what I mean? Like, there really are. There's, like, six guys. I was reading a story about them. Like, they didn't do anything, but they were getting heckled at spring training before, right? They weren't even on the team. But, it's like going back, like, years ago, Will, when the Knicks, I think it was 94, 95, whatever the year was. The Knicks and the Heat, might have been 93. I think it was 94, 95 season. So, the Knicks and the Heat, you've probably seen, like, footage of it. The Knicks and the Heat, like, they were really, 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 like, beating the shit out of each other in this playoff series. And, like, it was hostile. Like, you know,
physical,
like,
game.
Ewing and Mourning and Larry Johnson and, you know, it was big dudes and stuff were going at it pretty good. And finally, like, brawl started to break out. And so, like, all-out brawls. So there was a bench-clearing brawl. Like, there was a couple of, like, shoving matches and stuff. There were punches thrown, but finally it just hit it. You know, it hit the fan. And everybody stormed the court. Every player from both benches left. If you leave the bench, it's an automatic suspension. There's no exceptions. You can't leave the bench, like, and, you know, go on the court in a game, like, for a fight. It's just, you're automatically suspended. Except the thing is, they all did. And basically, basically after the Knicks and the Heat, they weren't too apologetic about it either. And they said, well, what are they going to do? They're going to suspend us all? You know what I mean? Because they were, you know, they were like, oh, that was embarrassing. And, you know, you embarrassed the league. And, you know, what the hell are you guys doing? This, you know, you're supposed to be playing basketball. And all you guys do is just beat the shit out of each other out there all the time. And They said, oh, what are you going to do, suspend us all? And Stern's like, yeah, Stern did. He's like, every one of you is suspended. And they're like, how can you suspend us all? How are you going to play the playoffs? Like, how are you going to finish the series if we're all suspended? Like, I've never seen it. It's the only time I've ever seen this in my life, Will. And Stern, being that the crafty guy that he was, man, he said, you're suspended in alphabetical order for the rest of the series. And imagine being a handicapper. Everybody, we all had to scramble, right? But there's no internet in these days, bro. Like the internet, like the internet, like existed, like maybe if you, you know, were like a professor or something, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't, like it didn't, like the internet really didn't get into really people's houses until like the late 90s, where it was like prevalent. And even then it was basic, dude, you know, but like, so it was literally like, I remember listening to WFAN and I bought a New York Post and I was like, we were going through like the roster and stuff. You know what I mean? He was like, well, A, B, C. All right. Childs is out. Ewing's out. Houston's out. It was basically the Knicks were screwed in the first game that everybody was out. Like a lot of their players were at the top of the alphabet. You know what I mean? Like Chris Childs was suspended. Allen Houston was suspended. Patrick Ewing was suspended. And like, but there were like Sprewell and Johnson weren't because they were later in the alphabet. But then after, they were suspended. You know what I mean? So it was this weird, you know, you're capping games on the alphabet, Will. You're like, I don't know, man. Look, you got to look at the alphabet and see who's suspended and not. And it was a battle from hell. Great, great stuff. So everyone wondered, how would you suspend all the Astros? That's what I would have done. I would have said, like, basically from A to G, you get the first 60 games. The next ones, you get the next 60. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, Altuve would have missed the first 2 months if it was me, you know? I probably would have went harsher through. I would have went, like, half the season. They're lucky they didn't get suspended. Like, look, Pete Rose is, like, banned for life, Will. Like, all he did is bet on baseball. Like, these guys... Like they said, oh, Pete Rose bet on baseball. It's the integrity of the game and all that type of crap. Yet he never threw a game. And they never, like, they had no evidence that he ever threw a game. Like, he never cost the Cincinnati Reds a game with his managerial. Like, he never did it deliberately. He only bet on himself. And he gets banned for life. Yet the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox both cheat to win a World Series, Will, and get nothing. They don't even get suspended. Like, it's insane.
It doesn't make sense to me whatsoever, and I completely agree. Pete Rose was just so fun to watch. Obviously, he was a little bit before my time, but I've seen many highlights in old games, and that guy just played with so much hustle. You know, they called him Charlie Hustle. He loved playing baseball. He had so much passion and energy for the game, and I feel like he still loves it. He'll always love it. And I don't know. I feel like I agree. He shouldn't be banned from baseball. And not only that, but I think he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame in some way, shape, or form. And
he's not a nice guy. This is the thing with Pete Rose.
Yep. 100%.
So he's not nice. And he's done a lot of shady things. Besides, you know what? He was going to – basically, Pete Rose, guys, if you're unaware – and I like, you know, listen, I like Pete. I met Pete a bunch of times. You know, I met Pete when he was a player with the Montreal Expos. He got his 4,000th career hit when he was with the Expos. And he was on the Expos briefly after the Phillies and the Reds Phillies. He was on the Expos. And I was a kid. I was going to the game by myself in the old days. I was like, you know, 10, 11 years old or whatever. And I was on the way to the game, taking the subway to the stadium, and Pete Rose was there, just sitting there by himself. And even as a kid, like, I was a big sports, like, I was a big fan, so I knew. And I went up to him, and I said, oh, hello, Mr. Rose. And I said, I'm surprised you're taking the metro, taking the subway train to the stadium. And I said, figured you'd have, you had a car or a driver. And he goes, no, kid. He was funny. He goes, no, kid. He goes, he told me where he lives. He goes, I live in Westmount Square. Westmount Square is like was like a sort of like a nicer upscale sort of like before a condo, like rich, like furnished apartments type thing. You know what I mean? But it was connected. Exactly. It was connected to the subway station. Like, you know what I mean? So imagine like living at Penn Station, like, but you come out of your elevator and you know, you're in the tunnel already type thing. So, and the thing is, Olympic Stadium, the baseball stadium was connected to the subway. So he told me, he goes, no, kid, I take this every game. He goes, this way I won't get lost and I'll never be late. So he told me. Yeah, he goes, true. I don't know. Yeah. He goes, I don't want to get lost. That's what he told me. He goes, I don't want to get lost in this city. He goes, I know I get on this train and from my house, I get out and I'm at the stadium. He goes, I take it every game. So even as a kid, Pete Rose started talking to me. He didn't just say like F off or anything. Like he told me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's he's the greatest hitter of all time. One of the best. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't want to get lost, kid. I take the train in. And then in Vegas, I met him and stuff too. Like he hangs out in sports books and stuff. Like he's around a lot. You see Pete Rose around a lot. And he got back on TV and stuff. And there was a push. Like there were a lot of baseball players that were like, all right, man, you punched him enough now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and not that, don't let him back in baseball, but put him in the Hall of Fame. You know, like just
100%.
Let him in the Hall of Fame. Don't let him, you know, don't hire him as a manager, but put him in, you know, the Hall of Fame. But then there was other stuff that came out. He was really stupid. There's that stupid alarm again. He was really stupid, man. During the, not a lot of people realize this, but during the investigation of Pete Rose for gambling, because they investigated everything, right? They discovered a lot of effed up stuff about him, all right, Will? Okay. Stuff that I don't even want to talk about. Like, it's uncomfortable. Yet, the name of the show is Unfiltered, and it's factual. It's not rumor. It's all, this is true. So, Giamatti and the commissioners and Faye Vincent and, you know, all the past commissioners and stuff, they all know what's in the report. It's almost like the Kennedy or something. It's like a secret report. You know what I mean? And yeah, so the commissioner went on a show like years after everything, just like 5 years ago or something, and said, you know, one of the reasons why Pete Rose isn't like, you know, it's not just the gambling. They said people like kind of know like the horrible things that this guy's done. And they were like, well, those are strong words, right? Like, what do you mean by that? And he basically said, listen, in our investigations, we discovered some pretty bad stuff. Like, and then he just dropped it. He said, like, he had relationships with younger people. And they were like, well, how young? And he's like, you know, 14 type thing. And Pete Rose sued him, okay? Pete Rose sued him for slander after. Except Pete Rose was so dumb, he sued him for slander for something that was factual. There were police reports and stuff, bro.
Jeez, you know what I mean? That's a waste of money.
Yeah, and he got fired from Fox after he got taken off of TV. Like, if he just would have shut up, nothing would have happened. Right? Like,
One thing after another.
Yeah, but it was like basically that, you know, Pete, like, he's not, like, he wasn't, like, sitting outside of parks in a van, Pete Rose, but that he had some girlfriends that were, they weren't 18, Will. We'll put it that way.
That's an issue.
Yeah, they weren't there, exactly. And he was married, too, of course, right? But, dude, all those, I mean, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, the musician, dude, the guy married his, like, 15-year-old cousin in those days, you know? The world used to be pretty whacked out, Will.
Yeah, it still is, but
you're right. The world, well, yeah, it's more whacked out than it ever is. So, all right, so we only got a couple of minutes left here. So what are you betting on here? Now, I wanted to ask you too. You're a big North Carolina fan, so did you watch the I'm assuming you did. I'll be disappointed if you didn't. Watch the Bulls documentary? the Last Dance episodes 1 and 2?
I'm going to be honest, Gabe. I did watch bits and pieces, but I have not watched the full first 2 episodes. I know they drop new episodes every Sunday, but I only saw the beginning of episode 1 and then like the middle of episode 2. I was in the middle of doing some work for Sports Grid at the time, so I did plan on watching them later. I have ESPN Plus, so I could watch them whenever I want, but I definitely am a big Michael Jordan fan. I love UNC, and I heard that the documentary got great reviews. I also saw that you and Cam talked about it on Game Time Decision, so I need to check that out, but I have not checked it out just yet, which is completely my fault. But yeah, I did have one question. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the question?
Just in regards to Pete Rose, he was trying to use leverage with the Astros and Red Sox for him to be reinstated or to be in the Hall of Fame. And we were just talking about the Astros, the Red Sox, and Pete Rose. So do you think that if he uses their cheating scandals as some type of leverage that maybe in the next couple of years he could possibly be reinstated back into the MLB?
In today's world, Will, nothing should shock me. But
it's true.
But the answer is no. No, no. And you know what? He didn't help himself with that. You know what I mean? Like when he went public and he ripped it and he had a point. You know, Pete Rose, and he said, how the hell am I banned? And these guys don't even get suspended. Pete Rose brought it up. But thing is, it's like, you know, every time there seems to be goodwill, he sort of rocks the boat a little bit. The thing is, he's old now. Like, he's just not getting in. It's just one of those deals. Listen, I've been a big Pete Rose defender over the years. You know, finding out the type of person he is, it takes a little of the passion away, but it doesn't change the facts that he still deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But I was going to say, I'll cut you some slack since you are working, and I got to be honest.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. The first episodes were on, and I was so hungover that. Same with you. I saw a bit of it. I didn't feel well. I was like, oh, God. And I was lying down. I was like, I'll watch it. I'll get caught up with it later. And people were flipping out. I saw on Twitter, they were like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life and stuff.
I know. And
I was like, man, yeah, whatever. I saw this stuff live. It's not like it's all new to me. But there was a ton of footage I've never seen. And then when you watch it, you're like, holy crap, this really is good. But, yeah, okay. So. You know, next time we speak, yeah, you better get caught up on the episodes 1 and 2, because 3 and 4 are coming up. And you'll see what real basketball was about with the real great one, Michael Jordan, not the king. Not LeBron. Listen, LeBron's great. LeBron's great. Jordan's better. Simple as that. Stay safe.
Don't
Will.
Let Kevin hear you. Thanks,
yeah, well,
Steve,
well, yeah,
to you.
I'm going to have a book report on this documentary from Kevin, too. Trust me. All right, stay safe, Will. Legendary Lindsay steps up and in. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. I am Morenci. It's the Capper's Corner edition of the podcast today. Window Will stepped up and in and threw it down. Let's break it down with a man that was killing it before we shut the Meadowlands down. And in fact, the last night that we were there with him in Capper's Corner, he was lighting it up, man. He was winning every race. There was four in a row before the races came to an end. And little did I know that would be the last time that I would be at the Meadowlands. It got shut down a couple of days later. I should note, actually, I did go and play some bets on the Saturday afternoon before they closed on the Monday, actually. But our last show was on that Thursday night. And I'm speaking of legendary Lindsay steps up and in. What's going on, Lindsay? How you doing?
Not much. I'm doing well, thanks. You know, well as to be expected under the circumstances. And
yeah, yeah. What part of New York are you in?
Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Oh, right in Brooklyn. So Queens seems to be hit a little bit harder, but the entire city basically has been hit. And that's the thing when you realize the damage that's been done, bro. Like, you know, basically like eight tigers have it at the Bronx Zoo.
Now you see
a couple of cats tested positive. The first cases in the world of cats, of course, in New York City. There was like a freaking tornado warning the other day. The weather sucks. Of course, remember, it was like, oh, the virus doesn't like warm weather. It thrives in cold weather. It's cold as hell. It's like unseasonably cold still. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Like everything is just lining up that it's just like, wow. Like, what's one thing after another. A piece of my tooth fell out even the other day.
I was on Twitter now. When that was going on.
Yeah, a piece of my tooth fell out. I got fire alarms going off all day long. It's one thing after another. But, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This stuff can't go on forever. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel for you, so to speak. You know, although we talked about it, the ponies are still racing right now. And, you know, me and Cam have talked a lot about how we're not really into this simulation stuff and the video game stuff. And I played some virtual sports before, but it was different. At Bet365, it's like 90 seconds. It's just like crack cocaine, degenerate gambling. This other stuff is like full out. Oh boy, I think we might have the alarm going. Will the alarm go? Oh, here we go. We've got the announcement. As Freddie Mercury stated, the show must go on.
Yeah, at least we're still producing content.
It's not the first time I've done a show through a fire, actually. So it's one for the ages. Actually, going back to the Team 990 days, and the fire alarm went off one night. This studio was on Green Avenue, nice street in Westmount there. Fancy.
I lived
studio.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, so you know the area. So, Shom FM used to be there and stuff. It was like Shom.
Absolutely, I used to go ring the buzzer and try to get the receptionist to put in a request for me.
Next, oh, really? Yeah. So
my mother tells me Nick's is still there.
Yeah. So there's quite the place actually. It's a nice street. Pete Rose lived across. Pete Rose lived in Westmount Square. So there was a fire alarm going off, and I kept doing the show, and basically the operator, it was just me and the operator in the studio at nighttime, and he starts getting his jacket, and he's kind of panicking and stuff. And I told him, chill out. I said, don't worry about it. I said, it's probably a false alarm. Or I said, it's just the alarm going off. It'll stop in a few minutes or something. And he's like, wow, no, you know, there's fire trucks. I can hear the sirens, and, you know, we got to go. There's a fire. And I snapped. I got really pissed off. I was like, I'm from the Ted Teevan school. I was like, I said, you can't leave. I said, it's like the Titanic. I said, you can't like abandon ship, you know, and leave the passengers on board. I said, we're live on the air. We can't just abandon a live show because a fire alarm goes off. So he, you know, he leaves. Like, I get into it. I told him I'm going to fire him and stuff. I'm like, you're done. I said, you'll never work on this show again if you walk out that door. He did. He split anyways. So, he left me on the air though, so I told him just leave it running or whatever. And I knew the buttons a bit, so I said leave it running. So he goes outside and stuff, and a couple of minutes pass, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. And I'm doing the show, I'm going on, and then the firemen literally walk in the studio where I'm at, like in the room, and they're like, "What the hell's wrong with you? What are you, an idiot?" And then they start like berating me, And they're like, you got to go. And I was like, all right. I was like, all right, I guess. And I'm thinking, well, I tried. You know what I mean? I stayed to the end. Buddy tells me, Lindsay, the fireman tells me, he goes, man, we got to get out of here. Because I was like, is everything all right? He goes, not really. He goes, we got to get out of here. He goes, there's a fire in a dentist office right below you. And he goes, dentist office are very flammable. I'm like, oh, shit. And I start like going fast, like out the building. Okay, he tells me, he's like, bro, there's a dentist office right below you. Because he was like, what's wrong? I was like, man, I don't know. I said, I just thought it was empty. There's nothing going on here. And didn't think it was real. He's like, there's a dentist office right below you. And he's like, it's flammable. He's like, we got to get the hell out of here. And the next day I got a call from the boss, the network and stuff. Because the kid complained that I tried to fire him, right, during a fire. And, it was a big deal. It was like Chum Radio and all that, too. So they were like, in the future, you know, for lawsuits and stuff. They were like, I got the whole spiel. They said, I don't care, man. They said, when that alarm goes off, you better leave, like, within a minute. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got the warning from the bosses. The next time a fire alarm goes off, and I played it all, like, cool. I was like, well, you know, I was on the air. I was didn't want to leave the airwaves, right? And they're like, don't worry about the airwaves, all right? They're like, we'll go to an emergency broadcast. And I've told that story a few times, yet you see, I put my money where my mouth is, Lindsay. I haven't gotten soft with age. You see, fire alarm goes off, I don't care.
Absolutely. Nah, Hunter Thompson would have done the same thing. Hunter Thompson would have just said, hey, give me a fire extinguisher. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the hell is going on. It's been this fire alarm's been going on and off for a couple of hours. And, you know, a lot of times in condos, it's not, you know, false alarms or whatever. Because they'll tell you, you can sort of tell if it's, I can sort of feel it if it's real. But there's been quite a few of them here. Like, I don't know, somebody set a fire in their kitchen last month.
Yeah, it must be knuckleheads cooking. Don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Fires in the oven, it happens.
That's the first thing I thought today. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's some idiot in his kitchen probably set something off. Like, people are cooking like they've never cooked before and stuff like that. But our trash, like, I guess there's like a trash compactor or whatever, like the garbage chute. I don't know. Whatever the hell it goes. I don't want to know. But I think it caught on fire like a couple of times. Like, it literally caught on fire. And I guess it was a bitch to put out. It's not easy to get in there and, like, so I don't know, dude. It's always something. Like, there's still, like, the alarm. They turn the alarm off, but there's still a fire truck. There's still, like, six of them. They're sort of hanging out. They're socially distancing, though. The fire guys all got their masks on, and then the alarm's just going on and off. But, all right, so I don't bet on this simulation stuff too much, but I'm not going to lie. I don't know if you've ever done it before. You ever been to the casino? Like, the casino in Montreal has it, or they used to have it. I don't know if they do anymore, but they did in the old days. It's like the horse racing with the big, you know, like the plastic horses and the metal guys, and it goes around the track.
Yes.
Like, that stuff's fun when you're all hammered and stuff at a casino. That stuff's cool. And in Vegas now, they also have sort of virtual horse racing. It's a fancy screen and stuff, and you pick your horse. And people like it. People are into it. But I haven't bet on this NFL simulation and all this other crap. But on May 2nd, Churchill Downs announces that on May 2nd, from 3 to 6 on the traditional Kentucky Derby broadcast, they're going to run a virtual race, a computer-simulated version of the American Classic, which was postponed due to the coronavirus. Virtual race created by Inspired Entertainment will feature the past 13 Triple Crown winners and use data algorithms, including historical handicapping, informations about horses, which will help determine the probability of their potential finishes. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And I'll tell you, I guarantee you, the sports books are going to bet on this. Like, people are betting on everything. People are going to bet on this for sure. And as part of this theme, Churchill Downs invites you to go to KentuckyDerby.com to choose your favorite horse and win a virtual horse race. And whatever, you win money, and they're donating money to charity as well. But pretty cool concept they got going on here. What do you think?
Well, a few thoughts. It's a nice idea, and the fact that they're going to make it a charity event is good. but there are so many things that are so ridiculously wrong with this. Serious handicappers aren't going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. And for so many reasons.
Oh, there'll be serious handicappers that bet it, but they won't bet it seriously. Like there'll be a lot of people that bet that'll say, oh, I'll just bet on this for the fun of it. But there's no way. Oh, you know, it'll be funny to see how people try to justify handicapping it if they're going to break down the horses. And you know, it's actually a fun debate because you know people will go over the horses and which was the best horse and all that. But
actually, it's a no-brainer.
You can't, but you can't handicap a computer simulated race, Lindsay.
If the computer is going to run the race based on the past performances of those 13 horses, Secretariat demolishes them by at least 17 lengths. American Pharoah, Secretariat demolishes by 12 lengths. And there are a few reasons for that, but and frankly, this is a nice little talk because we can start with a horse racing fun fact. Now, when we talk about thoroughbred racehorses, we are talking about the descendants of only four sires. So some British duke or prince or something in the late 17th century spotted a species of horse in Saudi Arabia, said these look like great racehorses, I'll take four of them. He brought them back to England, and by royal decree, these were the sires of what would be called thoroughbreds. So there aren't that many bloodlines, and they are all physically very similar, with one glaring exception. The average thoroughbred's heart weighs 8.5 pounds. When they autopsied Secretariat and weighed his heart, it was 22.5 pounds. And Secretariat was a smarter than average horse. So he was fully aware that he was much more powerful than all of the other horses in the field. He really is smiling in that photo that's on my Twitter feed. And for those that don't know it, it's Handicapper with a 3. So, you know, if they're going to run the race based on the horse's actual past performances, then Secretariat goes to post at 1-9 and demolishes the field, and nobody makes a dime in any pool.
Yeah, they're going to have to, you know, you know, the odds will be interesting. But, you know, I don't know how. I'd almost like to get the guys on to see how they're going to actually feed, you know, really feed the data into this, because they have to make it competitive. Right. You know, they it's not just, you know, they have to make it competitive. They have to make people think it's going to be competitive, although it is for charity. But bettors will end up taking it seriously. Look, it's going to be on NBC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to get like the same announcers and everything. Like, it's going to have that. They're going to, you know, go all out. I like the fact, though, that they're doing the Triple Crown winners here. It does make it very interesting. So the virtual race created by Inspired Entertainment will feature the past 13 Triple Crown winners and use data algorithms, including historical handicapping information, which helps to determine the probability of potential finishing positions. So you're saying, why bother laying all down? A bigger lock than Joe Burrow in the NFL draft is this is the chance to bet on Secretariat, though, Lindsay. You missed out on the chance.
Except you won't make any money because he'll be 1-9.
No, he won't be 1-9. No, it's a virtual race. They're trying to get action, bro. It won't be 1-9. Everybody's going to think, oh, Secretariat's going to win, right? So they know that, right? So they're going to build this into the number. It's not a real race, Lindsay.
Yeah. Well, I guess if they artificially weight the horses and throw an extra 10 pounds on Secretariat, then it becomes, and all other past performances are considered equally, then it becomes a horse race.
Look, this story is fresh news. This just came out hours ago, earlier in the day. So we'll find out more details about it, but we'll have to find out. We'll see how much information they share about how they're doing it.
Which brings up another point, and I guess I can take us to my previous or suspended career in computer security at the moment. There are two types of software in the world. proprietary and what's called open source. Proprietary is the stuff you pay money for and you can't see the code. Only the developers have the code. Open source means the developers give the software and the source code away for free, so every computer programmer on the planet can verify that that code is not, you know, doesn't have anything malicious going on in it. So if Twin Spires or whoever it is running the entertainment company you mentioned, if they're not going to open source the code to this race, then they can fix it any way they want, and conspiracy theories can abound for decades or whatever.
Wow, that's, yeah, well put. And this is why people have, hey, listen, I'm a pretty big sports bettor, but I've tried to resist over the years playing blackjack, playing roulette on video, on, you know, on online sports books and et cetera, video poker machines, which are really big in Montreal, poker machines. And I used to tell people, I said, look, it says on the damn thing, there's a little like fine print here on the bottom. There's a sticker. It says they keep 90% of the money. I'm like, they're telling you, like, I said, you think the Quebec government like made a machine that said, yeah, we're just going to like print money for people. Like I said, how do you think, like, they, why would they do that? Like, you know what I mean? And they're like, no, you can win. I was like, you can't win. I was like, that's the whole point. You can't win. But we got to get out of here. Lindsay, stay safe, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Gabe. Talk to you soon.
There's the legendary Lindsay bringing some heat, as far as, we'll get into that more when we know more about how they, the data that they're going to put into it, because Lindsay does know about penetrating computers. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.